In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Wednesday, March 8th, AD 2017. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Two Christian pastors in Vietnam claim they were kidnapped, stripped of their clothes, robbed, and beaten with metal rods by security officers as they tried to meet up with fellow Christians subjected to recent police violence, reports Radio Free Asia. According to Reverend Nguyen Trung Ton, the abductors covered their heads so they could not see where they were being taken. Eventually, they arrived at a secluded wooded area where they were beaten with a metal bar, stripped, and robbed. After the beatings, the abductors left the scene, leaving the pastors to suffer without any medical assistance. Thanks be to God. The pastors were later aided by local residents who discovered the wounded men. Matthew 10:22 says, "You will be hated by all because of my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved." A group of Iraqi missionaries recently witnessed the death of a 3-year-old girl when an explosive device set up by the Islamic State detonated, reports Christian Headlines. David Eubank and the Free Burma Rangers, who are serving in western Mosul, attempted to help the girl, but her wounds turned out to be fatal. Despite this horrific event and the danger they are in themselves, the missionaries say they will stay ministering in the area. Sky Barkley, one of the missionaries, said, quote, "If that's what it means to be obedient to God and to glorify Him, then I will lay down my life for that," unquote. China Aid released its 2016 annual persecution report yesterday, detailing a seismic shift in the Chinese government's approach to religious policy, which is expected to lead to further persecution. China continues to persecute individual Christians at a frequency unseen since the Cultural Revolution. Comparing statistics gathered in 2015, China Aid discovered consistent increases across 6 different categories of persecution in 2016. These include number of persecution cases, up 20.2%, number of people detained, up 147.6%, the number of people arrested, up 11%, the number of people sentenced, up 30%, the number of abuse cases, up 42.6%, and the number of people abused, up 69.5%. These new regulations seek to further limit religious activity and indicate a catastrophic potential to place more Christians behind bars in China. President Donald Trump called the bluff of Planned Parenthood, which claims to be most interested in providing comprehensive health care for women. Trump said if they agree to stop doing abortions altogether, he would not only keep its funding, but would increase its taxpayer funding. Planned Parenthood, which makes lots of money killing babies, said, "No thanks." The World View talked to Kristen Hawkins of Students for Life.
Well, I think the Trump administration was rightly trying to explore all possibilities. They know the majority of the country is against abortion. They know that those who elected their administration are expecting them to defund the nation's largest abortion vendor. So they went to them and they offered a simple, solution of, look, if you can continue to receive federal funding as long as you stop performing abortions, committing abortions, and they rejected it.
Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick is mobilizing pastors in Texas to be public advocates of an anti-transgender bathroom bill that would require that people use state-run bathrooms consistent with their biological sex and prevent local governments from enacting their own transgender bathroom ordinances, reports the Christian Post. Considering that pastors played an instrumental role in leading public pushback against a Houston transgender bathroom ordinance struck down by a referendum in 2015, Patrick is hopeful that conservative Christian leaders can have the same impact in leading the effort to pass Senate Bill 6, which has received pushback from the left and labeled, quote, anti-LGBT, unquote. Patrick said, quote, "Pray for all your legislators to be bold and courageous. Do the right thing. Pray for their protection, and then go out and win this fight for America, because America is watching Texas. The world depends on a strong America, and America depends on a strong Texas. and a strong Texas depends on our churches and our synagogues. That's what it stands for. Texas values. That's who we are." Unquote. In California, a 7-year-old boy upset his school so much for distributing Bible verses during lunchtime that school authorities even resorted to calling on a deputy sheriff to send the boy home to stop him, reports Fox News. The boy's parents, Christina and Jamie Zavala, made it a point to write an encouraging note and leave a Bible verse in the boy's lunch bag every day. Their son loved the verses so much that he read it aloud to all of his friends. It wasn't long before kids asked him for copies of the notes for themselves, and the Zavalas happily obliged. A Facebook user saw something that caught her attention at Wendy's while she ate her double cheeseburger, reports SunnySkies.com. An older gentleman was feeding his wife at a table nearby. She surreptitiously snapped a couple of shots with her camera phone. When he, quote, "got up from his seat to throw his food away, I couldn't resist asking how long he and his wife had been married," unquote. She learned he was 96 and his wife is 93, who is suffering from Alzheimer's. Quote, "And this was their date night. If they make it till June, they will be celebrating 75 years of marriage," unquote. As she posted the pictures and shared the story on Facebook, she wrote, quote, "My whole life I've yearned for a love that strong," unquote. The picture has gotten more than 141,000 likes and nearly 5,000 comments from users touched by the man's love for his wife. Take a look at it for yourself in our transcript at theworldview.com. Hebrews 13:4 says, "Let marriage be held in honor among all." And that's The World View in 5 minutes on this Wednesday, March 8th, in the year of our Lord, 2017. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. We want to invite you to join us at the NOAA Conference in Cincinnati, Ohio, on Friday, August 11th and Saturday, August 12th, 2017. We are in a worldview war today, just as Noah was when he was building the ark. The Noah Conference will equip you to disciple your children in an ungodly generation with the right worldview. Admission to Ken Ham's Ark Encounter is included for your whole family. Register at noahconference.org. That's noahconference.org.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today as we cover what's going on in the Western world. And today we're going to look at the nation of Scotland. What a tragedy, what a travesty the nation has gone through. The nation with the richest Christian heritage and the most aggressive, virulent apostasy of any nation in the world today. John Knox, of course, the great reformer from Scotland, did much to reform the church. In fact, Scotland becomes the center of the Reformation and the source of much of the American heritage, as well as the missionary movement that took the world by storm in the 1800s. Scotland, a great nation with the richest Christian heritage. But what in the world happened to Scotland? The nation has virtually committed Harry Carey. It's trashed its heritage, burned its monuments, imploded its faith. Scotland has the gayest parliament in the world, according to a New York Times article that came out just a couple of months ago. 3 out of 4 main parties in Scotland have homosexual leadership. Of the 129 members of the Scottish Parliament, a full 8% identify as homosexual. It's becoming one of the most tyrannical nations in the world. Scotland's brought in the named person law, assigning a public servant or social worker to every child born in Scotland. Scotland is collecting a growing list of hate crimes as well, leading to arrests of street preachers. People are being jailed in Scotland for singing songs, hymns in public. And Scotland has the second highest teenage abortion rate in the world. But Scotland has a great heritage, and we are going to talk about that heritage and find ways to recover it, not just for Scotland, but for ourselves, because America, Canada, all the Western nations have fallen in the footsteps of Scotland, England, and much of the Western apostasy. So today, We're going to get on board with Colin Gunn, who is from Scotland. He's a film producer. He's also leading a tour with LandmarkEvents.org this July. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But Colin Gunn now joins me on the Generations broadcast. Welcome, Colin. It's good to have you with us again.
Well, Kevin, thank you for having me on your show. It's always great to talk to you.
You know, you're from Scotland. I can tell from your accent, Colin. your accent's giving yourself away. You know, Scotland has a great heritage, and yet the trajectory set was not the best. In fact, would you say that the root of the problem is the slow but sure decline within the Church of Jesus Christ?
Oh, absolutely. I've got no doubt that the problem in Scotland has been the decline of the Church. Mm-hmm. And all of the other authorities that have infiltrated in Scotland that aren't the authoritative Word of God, that's the problem in Scotland. It's a loss of faith. Mm-hmm. It's not that we just picked, you know, pragmatically the wrong idea, which in a sense we did. We picked socialism over free market policy or whatever. But primarily the root of it all is our apostasy from God's Word, and the decline of the Church goes along with the decline of our culture, where we are today and all those things that you have mentioned, the abortion rate, or the dominance of homosexuality within the Scottish Parliament, the tyrannical state, the expansion of the surveillance state in the UK, banning things, street preachers, persecuting street preachers. All those things are a result of our unbelief and our walking away from the authority of Word of God. And you look at the Scottish Church, that's where it happened, and it happened there so significantly in the 1800s, while there was a time of real zeal, and we were gifted, more so than most other nations, a stable Church with a good structure. We left that in the 1800s towards every other authority, and we started to question the authority of Scripture. Mm-hmm. And that's where we are today. We're just a confused nation, really are. Scotland's a messed up place to be. It's a beautiful place. I love it. There's so many great people over there, and it needs our prayer, but it's a warning for all Christians. You know, in America, where I am now, this is what happens, and this is what's going to happen over here if you apostatize.
Yeah. Colin, it's so important for us to understand our heritage. So much of the American heritage is rooted in what happened in Scotland. In fact, the UK Parliament referred to our war for independence as the Presbyterian Rebellion, largely because the Scottish Presbyterians were so involved, especially in the South, during the war. And we've got a great heritage. I think of Patrick Henry and others whose roots were solidly in the Covenanters. But do you think that the Reformation was extremely powerful in Scotland, and why did it blossom in Scotland? Why does Scotland have such a heritage of robust spiritual revival and produce some of the most important missionaries in the history of the world?
Well, there seemed to be an act of God through the Holy Spirit in reviving our nation of Scotland. And Scotland had a history, a Christian history, before even the Reformation. So we were set up to really take on board all aspects of the Reformation. And the other side of it, too, is the Reformation was almost complete culturally. It's never perfect, of course, and there were still flaws in people's thinking and all the rest of it. But nevertheless, when you look at the Scottish Reformation, it went throughout the entire culture, and it was very much a bottom-up. It wasn't a king imposing it as well. It was the average man who started to read his Bible and understand. It was the priests were converting to Protestantism across the board. The nuns were leaving the nunneries. The whole culture was affected by the Word of God, and they immediately applied that to their civil sphere. That was the beauty of Scotland. They had this unique circumstance where it was so much blessed by God to repent of its sins, and those sins were the corruption of Rome and those moral corruptions that go along with that. And that nation was entirely turned around. So what you had was this amazing circumstance, and one nation more than any, mostly other nations in Europe, was unique in its change. So you have that history. You have that great history from St. Columba all the way through to Knox, and then you have the battle, the continued battle in Scotland for the purity of the church and the rights of the church and the rights of the individual within the church, and that battle led to the Covenanter movement. And so you have this just incredible history that should actually be an encouragement. While we talk about all the negative things of where Scotland has gone wrong, that is recent. What we see, though, is this great history, which I hope and pray we will turn back to when we repent, when Scotland repents as a nation. We've got so much to return to in terms of the Word of God established and applied to culture. So that's what I'm hopeful for my home country of Scotland.
As I studied the history of freedom in the Western world and wrote the book Freedom, I was amazed at how so much of the legacy for freedom really formed in Scotland, especially with Scotland's war for independence in the 13th century. And I think of William Wallace. And, you know, as I study the character of these people, it seems to me they like liberty. They prefer it decentralized. They'd rather not have a church that has a massive centralized power controlling all aspects of the entire church in one city called Rome. They wanted a decentralized system. There was an independent spirit about them. They were robust. They had something rugged about them up in the highland. And it seems like you've got the nature of the person in Scotland as robust, rugged in faith, and with an interest in a decentralized form of government. Do they retain any of that today? Is there any of that still left in a remnant amongst the Scottish?
I would say that still exists in the remnant that God has preserved. And there are godly Christians over in Scotland who persevere under the blue banner, so to speak, of the Covenanters. But they would draw on that heritage of Scotland being that remote little part of the European environment that never was conquered by Rome. It persevered against Roman Catholicism as well with its unique church, the Celtic Church, which for Protestants is a kind of weird world, but nonetheless, this was genuine Christians who weren't Roman Catholic, weren't organized from Rome. You look at the Proto-Reformation in Scotland, you had rebellion there, where there was a group of people called the Lollards, and they were persecuted and martyred in places like St. Andrews. So there has always been this unique situation in Scotland of people saying, no, we don't want to be controlled from some centralized agency. And it still perseveres today, not necessarily nationalism, which is a sort of wrong skew of all that sort of stuff, but there's still those that are faithful to the Word of God. And we have a unique confession, the Scots Confession, of course, that led to the Westminster Confession of Faith, that amazing document of a summary of what we should be believing about the Bible and how we should understand theology. And so we have these unique blessings. Today, though, where are we? Well, it's similar to here. We have an abandonment of the law of God. We have turned away from the authoritative truths that are written down. So, you know, people are over there are not like what we would want Scots to be or what we think or what we imagine, at least, those great men were like, where they're willing to die for the cause. That doesn't exist as much over there. Only in the church is so persecuting, so minimalized now, that it is, you know, there's a few thousand people instead of a whole country following the Lord. So yeah, things are very bad over there, but we need to pray that Scotland is revived. There's so much for us to be called back to, and that would include, you know, when a country is reformed, it includes our personality. And so that imagined idea of what a Scots person should be like, that's what I want to be like, and that's what I want to teach people. They should get back to where they should be proud to own guns, they should be proud to lead their families, they should be happy and honor God with having large families and all those things which Scots don't do anymore, where they're afraid of guns and they're fine with the government intervening in every aspect of our lives, even up to the point of giving every child in Scotland a social worker, which is the latest scheme of the Scottish Parliament. So we're hoping there'll be repentance as we get back to the Word of God. That's what I'm hoping.
Back to the heritage for just a moment. The Chaldean Church was produced out of the Celtic Church in the 5th, 6th, and 7th centuries. There's always this battle for independence from Rome. Can you speak to that just a little bit? How did the Chaldean Church form? And what were the pressures on it imposed upon the church by Rome? And how long did it retain its independence from Rome?
The Chaldean church existed. So you had the Celtic church, which is different. The Chaldean was the churches that existed out west, the structure of the Roman Catholic Church. So you would often have a little, you know, little church house next to the big cathedrals, and you can go and see that today. Actually, when you go on the tour that we're planning, we'll take people to St. Andrews, and you'll see this big cathedral that is now demolished, and my favorite kind of cathedral. It's lying there in ruins. Right next to it, though, is the little Chaldean place of worship, and they would have had a different perspective. They were allowed to marry. They had just a different way of doing things. More like a, not truly like a Protestant church, but very different from Rome. That was a holdover from the heritage of the Celtic Church, which was very different from Rome and battled Rome over particular issues. Some of them are kind of weird issues, but nonetheless, these people were true evangelists, and this is a separate church that existed in Scotland and in Ireland and a few other pockets here and there. That was the Celtic Church, and they evangelized the Picts, and that's some of the aspects of this tour, why we don't just talk about, you know, Knox and the Reformation of Covenanters. We go back and look at what has the Lord done for this nation pre-Reformation. So yeah, the Chaldees existed, and then in St. Andrews you started to see Lollardry grow up in the 1400s. So pre-Reformation, pre-Luther, well, obviously we're celebrating the 500 years of the 95 Theses being pinned up. Though this is before that, we had the Lollards in Scotland who were maintaining a proto-Reformation witness. And so there's this amazing heritage in Scotland of the Lord doing his work. Hmm. And many people suffering and being persecuted as a result of evil of Romanism. But boy, we've got some great stories and great places to visit on this tour that reflect, and you'll really be able to imagine the conflict that happened and people being faithful to God's word over everything else.
Colin, God used John Knox, the great reformer in Scotland, perhaps unlike any other person in the history of the Christian church, a tremendous influence upon the entire church in Scotland, and then, of course, influenced nations beyond that for centuries to come. John Knox's grave now under parking lot space 23, if I recall correctly. So there's very little honor paid to this great man of God, the poor wise man who saved the city, as the book of Ecclesiastes will put it. But speak to this poor wise man who saved the city. Speak to John Knox and why he's so important, and why we've got to get our kids out there into Scotland to trace the roots of this great and mighty reformer, John Knox.
Well, John Knox is to be admired for the reason that everyone hates him in Scotland. So he's seen as being completely single-minded and disliked as a result of his steadfastness to the authority of the Word of God. And so it was him who, being friends with Calvin and going to Geneva, this is amazing how they traveled around so easily in Europe. He preached in England and France and ended up in Geneva and was working with Calvin and brought that back under persecution. Of course, there's the famous story of him being persecuted, put on a slave ship and suffered. He was the bodyguard of George Wisher, of course, and, you know, a real fighter. And so when we look at someone like John Knox, that's personally what I get out of John Knox, his steadfastness and his unwillingness to waver under persecution and his ability to speak his mind. And if one thing we get from Knox, which is what the world hates, was his forthrightness on what does the Bible say. And it's very simple. If you go to the Scots Confession, it's an amazing book to read, again, before the Westminster Confession is drawn up, but it simply lays out what the Christian faith is so that these Protestants, new Protestants, could understand. And it was a real decentralization in putting the Word of God in the hands of the individual and their faith, giving them an understanding of what their faith was. And so John Knox, it speaks to being able to speak it with clarity to all the issues that were going on. And he didn't separate the church into this little bubble. He believed all of the Word of God applied to the government as well, and dealt with wicked queens and preached forthrightly, publicly. And he is a person to admire. In Scotland, he's not seen, as you said. He's you know, in a parking lot underneath a car, you know, the pastor's car, I think, he parks there. And that sort of speaks to how he's regarded. He's seen as the same way people talk about Puritans over here, in a negative fashion. Of course, a lot of it is just flavored by their own prejudice against God's word. So he's certainly a man to be admired. When we go to Scotland, we visit multiple churches that he would have preached in. We go see his grave. We go to see his own church, which is St. Giles Cathedral in on the Royal Mile. It's a beautiful place to visit. But you'll get to hear the truth, and our tours are very different. You have me talking about these sort of things. I focus a lot on the architecture and a little bit of history. But you have Bill Potter as well, who's just a master historian who's able to bring all of this stuff to life. And so you're getting a different kind of tour. If you go on the average tour in Scotland, you'll be hearing about murders and ghost stories and all end of nonsense. But really, our tours are so different. That's why it's a great place for people who want their own families to really have goals and understand the importance of the big things you can do in serving God. And that is what you're going to get when you go on the Landmark Events Tour.
If you want to understand the heritage, the Christian heritage, the faith heritage that produces the most God-blessed nation on the face of the earth, that is the United States, and all of the heritage we receive from the Puritans, the Pilgrims, the Presbyterians, the John Knoxers and others, I think we need to dig into this heritage. Obviously, the entire Western world is in apostasy today, but there is a rich Christian heritage that lies underneath these nations. And of course, the great heritage of freedom would never, ever, ever exist without Scotland. Scotland was at the forefront of the battle. And you've got to understand the history, my friends, of the battle for faith and freedom throughout history. And if you're just taking in whatever the public schools give you, you're learning the history of tyranny, the history of sheer evil. And I would encourage you to actually, you know, find out what God has done in history, especially in the establishment of his church and the moving forward of a tremendous missionary movement and the battle for freedom across the Western world. Well, speak to the Covenanters, and the reason why I think Covenanters are important is because they make up so much of our heritage. The heritage of Patrick Henry would have no Patrick Henry if it had not been for the rich heritage of the Covenanters. He spoke to the Covenanters in many of his speeches. He would not have fought for independence if he had not been a Scottish who had the blood of the Covenanters running through his veins. Same thing for John G. Peyton, the greatest missionary of the 19th century, and of course many other of the missionaries in the 19th century that took Africa by storm, China, Asia, etc. Many of the missionaries, if not most of the missionaries, came out of Covenanter blood. So tell us why the Covenanters were important and why Christian families need to investigate the history of the Covenanters.
Well, the Covenanters in Scotland are known as the Second Reformation in Scotland. And so you have the first one with Knox, and that's at around 1560. After that, you're looking at 100 years, and it's not so much a conflict with Rome, but a conflict with the government in relation to issues of church independence and how to worship. So it's very interesting to see what these covenants were about. What did they hold in high regard? Well, the Scots, above everything else, held their church structure, how the church was to be governed. That means not that we you know, just how it's arranged, but who's the head of the church. And the key difference between Anglicanism or Romanism as well. But the key difference was who's head of the church. And the Presbyterian answer is very simple. Christ is head of the church. What is the Anglican answer? Well, the king or the queen is head of the church. We hate that idea. That is a terrible idea. And the Covenanters fought against that to the death. And so they signed these national covenants. And that's very interesting. It's very important for us to understand what those covenants mean. What it means is that they asserted the right, that the people have the right to assert interposition, make a formal covenant, and this isn't just, you know, like a petition. It's not really like that. It's all the leaders within the structure of society, all the judges, all of the politicians signing this document, all the churchmen and pastors signing this document saying, we assert that the Christ is head of the church, not the king, and that king has no authority to change anything in the church. And what happens, or what was happening, is the church was taking control again of Scotland. It was trying to take control. This is the Anglican church, and the king was trying to take over through the church. So it would appoint all of his cronies to positions of power. They would take, you know, the tithe. They would really take over the whole of culture by taking over the church. That's something really important for us to understand. The Covenanters stood up against that and went through periods of intense persecution, and the stories of, and we visit places where we have women being drowned in punishment, of people being left out, exposed to the elements, people being hung, burned at the stake, and they're fighting for that one issue that Christ is head of the church. And so that should inspire us that that's what we need to be doing. There's so much confusion in our church right now, largely because of that same issue, where we've become statist, or where the churches are serving, you know, the American empire, or whatever it is. Well, no, we need to get back to that simple principle. So they are inspiring, and this is a story from the 1600s, which, you know, and a lot of people, Reformed people, there's kind of a gap there. They know about the Reformation, but they don't really know what happened in between to our modern day and modern era. So it's very important history, and Scotland is where all the action was all happening in Europe. So it's a great story.
Colin, some people think that things have never been worse. Well, you look back at the tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people that were burned at the stake in the 1500s and 1600s, and you ask yourself, okay, things have never been worse. Give me a break. But here we are, Colin, Scotland, the most pro-homosexual, the most pro-abortion, the most likely to persecute Christians of most of the Western nations. Do you think Scotland is in worse shape today than it was under Catholicism in the 1540s?
Oh, that's a really hard question. I think there's similarities. I think we have different battles. I think what we do know, though, is that God in his providence leaves their heritage that changes their character, builds up the church, and while it's depleted, there's still a foundation. And if people like me, and I didn't know anything about the Covenanters or not, but until I became a Christian and went to a good church, and they told me all this amazing, all these amazing truths about our Scottish heritage, that all of these people, they were all Christian, but they're also all very reformed in the sense of that they had good theology. And so what that means is that there's an opportunity in Scotland to point people back to the history of our nation, and it's full of people. There's a Hall of Fame in the Wallace Monument, and half of the people there are believers. And, you know, there's a good few heretics in there as well, but there's amazing strong history when you just look at the people that built Scotland and the impact they had on American history as well. So many of them had a strong and genuine faith. So there's different problems, the different problems that we have as well. We're not so much fighting the Roman Catholic Church anymore with all of their sins, but there's similarity in terms of centralized authority, of lies, of treachery, of wickedness, of all of the sins that went along with Romanism and the priesthood. Many of those things are happening right now. That's why it is important to point out the fact of the sexual identity of those people that are ruling over Scotland, where three of the leading parties are homosexuals. The Secretary of State to Scotland is also homosexual. There's a takeover going on. So it always goes hand in hand, sexual apostasy with tyranny, and so it's very important for Scottish people to understand that so they can address it. So yeah, things are bad, but we have that heritage, we have the power of God when we go and preach the truth, and I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not making any predictions, but I believe there's opportunities there in Scotland right now, and that's part of the reason for the tour. Bringing Americans over, there's opportunity, many opportunities, and I've seen it, of these wonderful American Christians going over to Scotland and just talking to people and communicating to them, and we'll find a good church for you to go to in the Lord's Day, but you will also get to see some of the other side of Scotland, but you'll be there to be a witness and revive that enthusiasm for Scottish history. What you find is the Americans are much more enthusiastic and much more knowledgeable very often than the Scottish people there at these places that we go to visit.
Big tour scheduled this year for the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. How is your family going to celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation? Are you going to pass on a legacy of faith to your children? Here's one good way to do it: to join Colin Gunn, who will be your tour guide through Scotland on the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation this July. And friends, it kicks off July 2nd, and you can check it out at landmarkevents.org. Again, for more information about the big tour to Scotland, it's landmarkevents.org. Colin, thanks for joining us on Generations. We appreciate your heart for the faith and your heart for Scotland and your heart to revive and to reform the faith 500 years after the first Reformation.
Oh, thank you, Kevin. It is exciting for me. I love America. I love being here. when I'm 50, I'll have been here as long as I have been in Scotland. So I came here when I was 25. Mm. So I have a passion for both nations. So the tour is wonderful because it allows me to go with my American friends and show them Scotland. And there's some heavy theology there. There's some real learning, but there's also a lot of fun as well. And just enjoying the beauty of God's creation, looking at beautiful lochs, looking at beautiful castles that people have built. It's a fantastic event. And it's all Christians that go in this as well. So there's so much fellowship to be had on these tours. So I recommend it for everybody that can make it. It is a fantastic tour.
Colin Gunn on this edition of the Generations Broadcast as we discuss Scotland yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And Colin, thanks for joining us today on the Generations Broadcast. We appreciate what you're doing there.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
And you have been listening to the Generations Radio Broadcast. If you'd like to interact with the radio program, email me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abortifacient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about 1/3 of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way, protecting life as Christians do at 1/3 the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org.